This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Sauce Trunk, a weekly trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to Source Trunk episode 11, recorded on the 11th of December 2006. This podcast will try to show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will do this by taking a random open source project and give it a little review. With this episode, I will be drinking an Augustin. An Augustin is brewed by the Augustinian Fathers of Ghent, that's in Belgium, and they have been doing this since 1295. This one has a hoppy flavor with a malty background. That's what is stated on the website. I should pour this slower than I'm doing now, but it's still okay. Apparently, it has a light, fruity, vanilla flavor hidden somewhere in the beer. So that's for the real beer geeks to discover. It has 8% alcohol, and it seems like the 8% alcohol is the best for beers of this kind. Now, this beer enjoys also the secondary fermentation in the bottle or directly in the keg. More about the second fermentation. What is it exactly? It's just adding a little yeast and sugar to the beer when it is packaged into the bottle. So that converts itself into alcohol and carbon dioxide. And that gives it the full body and mature taste. So the Augustin. It's bitter. Okay, we'll see. Let's go.
Multimedia software.
Amarok. This is a free software music player for Linux and other varieties of Unix. It has a different approach than most music players. For example, the tagline is "Rediscover your music." I'll explain it a little bit. Its purpose is to organize your music, and its purpose is as well to learn more about your artists and as well to discover new music according to your musical preferences. I'll explain how Amarok can do this. First of all, I've installed this on my server. I installed it as well on a Debian client, and I will be demonstrating it by using it on my MacBook Pro under OS X. Yes, you can install this under OS X as well. It's in the Fink repository, so not in the Darwin ports, but via Fink you can install it completely. I had to install it from the sources, not the binary packages. So even on a very, very performant MacBook Pro, this took almost a day, but it was worth my while. Why did I install it on an Apple machine when I've got iTunes? Well, you'll hear in a minute. How does it work? Well, you just install Amarok. And when you first launch Amarok, it will ask you where your music is located. It can be in different directories, and it will go through them recursively and take all your MP3s in the collection. It will create a collection for you. Then, when you have the collection, then it gets very interesting. In the collection, you can just browse your music. It will have read all the tags, the ID tags, and so it can put all the MP3s in directories according to album, for example. And then you can just take the files you would like to hear, put them in a little playlist, and play them. Okay, that's your basic music player behavior. In the left pane, you have six different panes. You have context, collection, playlists, files, magnitude, and media device. Let's start with collection. If you take collection, you can see all your audio files. You can group them if you want to. You can change the way you're viewing them. So that's not all very interesting. Playlists, now there it gets interesting. You can make your own playlists. You can make different playlists and you can put in there whatever you want, how you want it. You can make folders where you put in different playlists. And you can even make smart playlists. Now, people who use iTunes know what a smart playlist is. That is, for example, you make a playlist in which you indicate that you want to have all the music played by a certain artist and all the music played that is, for example, longer than 4 minutes, and you want it randomly. So then you have a smart playlist and you just have to click on it and it will randomly fill that playlist, for example. The smart playlists that are already in your Amarok are, for example, 50 random tracks or all collection or ever played or favorite tracks or genres. You can have different genres, alternative, blues, books and spoken, classical, all according to the ID free tag you have in your music files. Newest track, never played, most played, last played. You see, in this manner, with the smart playlists, you can really rediscover your music. And that is just one of the nice ways you can rediscover your music. You have radio streams as well. You can add your own radio streams in folders. It has predefined cool streams, for example, Groove Salad, Indie Pop Rock, Proton Radio, just to click and to use whenever you want to. And then in the bottom of your playlists is a nice little tiny folder, and it is called Podcasts. Yes, this thing can do podcasts as well, and it can manage them very, very well. You just have to give it the URL of the podcast feed, and it will load them in, and you can manage them from within Amarok, which makes it very, very cool. Okay, the next tab, apart from the playlists, are the files. So you can browse for music apart from your collection. So you can browse for music and just play them completely besides your collection. Okay, there are two more tabs on the left side. I'm going to come back to that a little later on. I'm now going to go to the top pane, and that is context. And this makes it very special. This makes Amarok what it is. In the context menu, when you are playing a song, it will give you the album art and give you all the information about the artist which is playing. And it will also, and this is very, very cool, give all the albums of that artist in your collection. So you could have taken a song and you see that there is a better album by that artist, and you just click on the album and play everything about that artist from the other album. Now, there's another tab next to music, that's lyrics. While it is playing, it will contact via a lyric script the website to get the lyrics from that song. So you can do a little karaoke in your own home if you want to. But it's now you see the real meaning of rediscover your music, because now you can take the time to read the lyrics and understand what the artist is trying to say. And next to lyrics, you have artists, and then it will hop on to Wikipedia from within the window of Amarok, and it will bring the Wikipedia entry for that artist. So while you're listening to an artist, you can read all about his career, his biography, other albums he made, stuff like that. This is really rediscovering your music. Try it out. The context pane is very, very interesting. It gives more value to your collection. It adds something extra to your bunch of MP3 AUG files you have hidden there in your directories. It gives you all the information you really want to know about your music. This is really cool. Okay, now let's hop on to a tool. One of the tools you can have in Amarok is the Cover Manager. When you click on a Cover Manager, it will first try to get all the covers out of the ID tree information of your audio files. Or if there is a cover picture in the same directory of your album, it will just load it in. And from there on, you can decide if the cover is really the cover of your album, or you can just change it. You just click on an album and say, no, it's, I'd rather have that cover on it. And it will just update the information from Amarok. Most of the time, you will have a lot of missing covers. It's enough to click on fetch missing covers and it will get them from Amazon. It will try to update all the cover information of your albums, and it does a very good job. And if it doesn't do it correctly, if it guesses wrong, you can just adapt it manually, change it manually. Now, there's one thing though I have to mention. This information is not stored or saved in your MP3 files. This information is stored into the local database of Amarok. Amarok uses SQLite, which is embedded, or it uses MySQL or Postgres SQL to store all that information. So it's not stored in your data files, in your music files. Once you wipe Amarok off your hard drive, you will lose all that information. But that brings me to the second tool, and that is the script. I think it's the script tool, the script manager. With the script manager, you can download a lot of scripts and install them in Amarok. One of the scripts I would like to mention is, for example, the script you can use to embed all the information, cover information, into MP3 files. One of the scripts, I don't remember what name it is, just does that. While it is playing a file, it will immediately put a cover.png in the same album directory. Oh yeah, here it is. Copy cover is an Amarok script that will copy the cover of the current playing track to the songs directory. You have a lot of Amarok scripts you can download directly from within the Amarok engine. You don't have to go to a website. It's all in the script manager. You have transcode that can, for example, re-encode selected tracks. You have replay gain, which will normalize the volume. You have record radio, which will record streaming audio into audio files. There are really a lot of scripts. And I think if you need more functionality to the Amarok machine, you just can look into the scripts and normally you will find immediately what you really are searching for. That's a long sentence. Okay, so everything you want into Amarok can be found or be written. I think it's Python that is most of the time used for these scripts. Okay, so that is for the scripts. Let's close the script manager. You have a lot of visualizations. You have an equalizer. You have statistics. You have a button to completely rescan your collection. While it is normally so that Amarok will keep track of any changes that go into the collection, you can rescan it manually if you don't see your newly burned CD into the Amarok engine. Okay. So that gives us a lot, and there is more. What about synchronizing your media device? You have an iPod, you have an MP3 player, you have an AUX player, and you want to synchronize them. Okay, there's a little pane called media device. And there you can connect your iPod if you want to, or your MP3 player. So, for example, I have a little iPod Shuffle, and I have a rather big Chinese MP4 player. And I use the iPod for podcasts and the MP4 player solely for putting music on randomly and have it transmitted in my car via an FM transmitter. And I want to synchronize both of them. I have two USB ports on my system, and that is exactly what I can do. Not only one media device, I can have multiple media devices locked onto Amarok, and I can click on a playlist and just tell it to, let's see, how is it called? Transfer to media device or synchronize to media device. And it will do just that. It will transfer it completely and you can use it wherever you want in your car, while jogging and so on and so on. So yes, the complete synchronization with a media device is included in Amarok as well. So it's going to be very difficult to to have the iTunes hog win a battle over this one. I'm sure a lot of people can argue that iTunes is just slick and works out of the box and is very intuitive. Well, Amarok is getting very intuitive as well and is, in my opinion, very slick as well. Okay, these are just the main things that pop out that are really, in my personal view, very important. There are two more features I'll have to explain. That is, it has last.fm support. For the people who know what last.fm is, just skip 1 minute in the podcast. For people who don't, well, last.fm is a music recommendation system that has a very large website and also an internet radio station. Now, the system will build a detailed profile of each user's musical taste, and it will put it on the site, and it will show the user and other users what your musical profile is, what your musical taste is. And from what I understand is that in this way you can make contact with other people who share your musical taste. You can learn more about your own taste, and it has a lot of very nifty features like scrobbling. I'm going to read just the explanation what scrobbling is on the last.fm that will give an idea. Scrobbling a song means that when you listen to it, the name of the song is sent to last.fm and added to your music profile. Once you've signed up and downloaded last.fm, you can scrobble songs you listened on to your computer or iPod automatically. Start scrubbing yourself and see what artists you really listen to the most. Songs you listen to will also appear on your last.fm profile page for others to see. And there it gets interesting because other people can see what you like and so you can make connections. It scares the bejesus out of me that other people can see what I listen to minute. But if you're interested in that kind of things, just head over to last.fm, last.fm. So Amarok has a plugin to directly communicate with last.fm. Check that out as well. The second thing you can see is magnatune.com. Magnatune.com is another pane in the Amarok engine. And there you can update the complete database of Magnatune, and it will give you all the artists that have signed up with magnatune.com, and you can listen to their albums streaming. You can listen completely to all of their numbers, and if you like a certain CD very much, you can just buy it with one click via a Visa card. And that's a very interesting way to buy music. If more artists would choose this way of selling their music, it would be very interesting to listen to an artist's complete album and afterwards say, well, yeah, that's not bad. I'm going to buy it. Not bad. I will be watching this a bit longer and see how this develops. This is a neat way of buying music. I hope they will keep it up. Okay, so that's it. There's more to Amarok, but you'll have to discover it yourself, really. It has a lot of stuff in it that I haven't even talked about, but it's too much to cover in just a single podcast. You really have to try it out. When you get stuck with this program, you can also check out the very nice wiki. They have a very nice wiki at amarok.kde.org/wiki. Some negative aspects, wish list. Not really on my list. This is really very good. I've thrown away my iTunes last week. I'm not kidding. I just threw it away. I'm not going to use it anymore. But there is a wish list on the site if you want to. One thing, though, that is coming out, that is the Amarok Live CD. And the Amarok Live CD is going to be a distribution with Amarok installed on it, so you can try it out before you even install the thing on your operating system. It's at amaroklive.com. It's not there yet, but I have a cute little picture of a dead computer, which is staring with really sad eyes. And then a CD of Amarok Live is inserted in it, and it's brightly smiling to you because it's alive again. So I hope this one comes out really soon. The offer is Mark Kretschmann. I don't think he's the only person developing this wonderful thing. It really looks like a real movement to me. Some tips. Take your time trying this thing out. It has a lot built in and you really have to discover it at your ease. Availability. All POSIX, so Linux, BSD, and as explained, you can even have it on macOS X. Now, Windows users, you can't use it on Windows machine yet. There's a roadmap on amrock.kde.org, and I'm just going to head over to it. We are now at version 1.4. Let's see what version 2.0 will do. Not much known about 2.0 yet, other than that it will use Qt4 and KDE4. And normally Qt4 would be, with Qt4, it would be possible to port it to Windows. The estimated release date will be the same day or slightly before KDE 4.0 is released. And there's a roadmap for version 3.0 as well, but it will be released concurrently with the 6th French Republic. And then Amrock will be simultaneously rewritten in Ruby and whichever new IT language is sexiest at the time. There's a version 4.0 roadmap as well. Version 4.0 will be written in Visual Basic 9.0, the novel edition. And the estimated release date is the same day the first moon colony is built. So you've been warned. Watch out for version 4.0. The latest release is 1.4.4 and it was updated the 31st of October. Where you can get it is at amrock.kde.org. The license is GNU General Public License. You can support it by clicking on the PayPal support on the site. You can buy t-shirts. They have a really nice t-shirt shop for Europeans and Americans you can buy from. You can help each other out in the fora if you have a problem. You can provide the developers with feedback, bug reports, or simple wish lists. Go head over to amrock.kde.org. Okay.
The little extra.
MP3 to AUG. Well, I've been talking about MP3s a lot. I know, I should be talking about AUG instead of MP3, but I hate to admit it, my complete music collection is completely in MP3s, not AUG, and I'm really ashamed. Both my players are MP3 players. They don't support AUG at all. I've been checking out some AUG players on the net, on eBay. I've missed out on two really good AUG players, and I really promise in 2007 I will have my very own state-of-the-art AUG player with everything on it. But then I will have to change my complete MP3 collection into an AUG collection. And I can't do that manually. I can't go to every album and say, well, all those MP3s, come on, go. Transcode them into AUG. No, I need something that I can just point my complete collection to and say, well, have a go at it and I'll see you back in 2 days and have it all transformed in AUG. This little utility, MP3 to AUG, will do just that. It's a Perl script and it will convert, like I said, all MP3 files into a nice AUG Vorbis format. It will read the ID3 tags from the MP3 files and correctly tag the AUG files as well, so you don't lose information. It can even rename the files according to the ID3 tags in your MP3 files. It's completely console-based, so it has some options when you start it. You can set the quality if you want to, the AUG Vorbis quality, but normally it will default to the quality of the MP3 file. You can have the --delete option, which will delete the files after converting. If you're not really sure about the conversion, then you can just forget about the delete option, and it will just make an OGG file besides your MP3 file. But if you don't have enough space to do that, then you will need the delete option. You can rename it, you can put everything in lowercase, and you can preserve the timestamp of the original file. That's it. Just point it to the directory where all your files are put. It's completely recursively. So if you have all your directories with all your MP3 files under the directory music, just point it to music, and it will, according to the size, take a long time, but will finish nicely. Some negative aspects. Nothing. It's nice, clean console script. It's tiny, it's small. Some tips though. When you convert from MP3 to OGG, remember that you're converting from one lossy format to another. So you will have a slight degradation in your quality, which is very, very normal. One lossy to another, you will lose every time you convert. Now, if you have your MP3s in CD quality, normally you will not hear the difference. Your quality loss will be very, very, very low. And it's for a greater cause. It's to free your audio of the proprietary MP3 formats. I will inform you when I've done it and how it went. The author is Nathan Wolpe. He's a software developer and systems administrator, and it's available for everything POSIX, Linux, and I think BSD as well. The latest release, I think it was 0.11. It's from January 2002. Where you can get it, it's from faceprint.com/code. Links and show notes, as always, on sourcedrunk.com. The license is the open source artistic license. How to support it? Well, I haven't found anything to support it, but if you're really fond of the software, just mail the author about it and ask him if you could give him a crate of beer or something. I've got some listener feedback. Let's see. It's from Jack Daniel. I'm just going to read it quickly. I just wanted to let you know how much I enjoy the podcast. Thank you. I found you after I heard a promo on In the Trenches, and I've just finished catching up on all the back episodes. 10 is in the iPack for tomorrow's commute. Yes, I know the feeling. Most of the podcasts I listen to is commuting as well. You asked for feedback on the extra time. Personally, I would like to hear about project updates and maybe some general open source news. But really, do what makes it enjoyable for you. That's a very nice idea. So you will keep up the great work. For what it's worth, my favorite open source program is Wireshark. A4Real was a much better name, though. I agree completely. As a systems and network admin, I can't imagine life without it. Thanks again, Jack. Well, Jack, thank you for listening to the program. Heading back to the back episodes, it's always nice to hear from listeners. A4Real, yes, well, Wireshark. Maybe I will take this one in the next episode, because it's really a very nice program and I've been using it for years, and it's really a sysadmin's tool. So yeah, maybe I will. Okay, let's wrap it up. I've recently joined the Tech Podcast Network. I thought a podcast like this one should join a network that is solely on technological stuff. So check them out on techpodcasts.com. They have a wide range of technical podcasts you probably didn't even know existed. So just check them out. Leave your comments on sourcedrunk.com or mail me directly via sourcedrunk@gmail.com. The theme song of this podcast is by Brand New Sin, and it's called Freight Train. You can find them on music.podshow.com. I'm leaving you with Slip Away by Babylon Bombs. Thank you for your time and good hunting. We ain't got no self-esteem. She hides her face in her hands. Life's tough when you're down, but she's alright. Sweet sister, don't feel blue. Good times will come to you too. Close your eyes, don't be there. You fly on your wings. Young and divine, she sings. Just don't let it slip away. Let it slip away.
ran the tracks down the road she wouldn't go. Dark faces staring so cold.